Yeah. I don't know when Moshiach is coming, but I know how many kids I'm going to have. When I saw my wife the first time, I saw her from across the room, I recognized her. Every time my wife is pregnant, I tell her we have a boy, we have a girl. A lot of the things I do know, but I don't know when Moshiach is coming. First of all, my nisayon is that I don't remember every little thing. I remember big things. I remember my wife, how she looked. So when I met her, I recognized her. So it was easier for me in the shidduch. Okay, I'll give that. And then I knew how many kids we have. Big deal, so I know what kid I'm going to have. So I knew different things. But I didn't see every little detail. In regards to the nisayon, you know, my nisayon is that Hashem put me back into a body with a yetzer hara, with all sorts of desires, and with 28 years that I pumped this yetzer hara. Oh, my yetzer hara is a commando yetzer hara. So I'm back into a body. Okay, maybe a little kvetch of advantage. But my yetzer hara is so sophisticated, I'll give you my yetzer hara any day I'll treat. So I pumped him up for 28 years, and I'm still in the body, and I still have a nefesh ha-behemit to deal with, so maybe a little here and there, some advantages, but you know, kechol shekocho gover, kach yitzro gover. The more you grow up, your yetzer hara grows up with you. Because it's not going to be fair. If I'm here, and my yetzer hara here, that's not fair, so he has to grow with me. So my yetzer hara, he can teach all your yetzer haras how to manipulate the situation. The problem is I'm still in a body. And the body is limited. Nachon, I do have some advantages. But because the yetzer hara comes in, I'll give you an example. I speak every night. Every night I go and speak. Everywhere, all over the world. Now I'm in Los Angeles, every night I'm booked. Sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day. Sometimes I come, a big event like this, hundreds of people, doesn't matter, for me it doesn't make a difference if it's 5 or 500. But I come home, 3 o'clock in the morning, after 6-7 hours with answers, questions, answers. Sometime I would come home and I didn't pray Arvit yet. My Yetzer would tell me, you don't need to pray. You just helped hundreds of people. You know how many mitzvot you're going to you produced today? You know how many balei tshuva you did? You don't need to pray Arvit. Hashem doesn't really, it's okay, go to sleep. You can wake up in the morning, don't worry, tashlim achar, you'll catch up tomorrow. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I did give from myself. From 6 o'clock in the morning, I studied 5 hours today. I helped these people. I helped here. I did this. I did this. You know, you're right. Maybe Hashem doesn't need my Arvit right now. So, you know, it comes in a very tricky way that sometimes even I say, you know what? Wow. Nachon. So my Yetzer HaRa tell me, is you such a tzaddik? Hashem really doesn't need your Arvit. What? He needs your prayer. So, you know, the more that you become higher, your Yetzer HaRa will come and be like, So, but I still have my own Nisayonot. Yeah. But the difference is that when I deal with a Nisayon, what's a Nisayon? Hashem wants to promote you, so he's testing you. Before he's promoting you to the vice president, let's see if you're worth it. So Hashem gives you a present, and it's wrapped up in a very horrible wrapping. Because if I'm now going to put two presents in front of you, one is like with gold wrapping and big bows and fancy stuff, and next to it something like in a, wrapped in a newspaper, you'll be like, ooh, that looks probably much fancier. So Hashem wraps up a big diamond in a horrible wrapping, and he says, now let's see if you choose. And the whole point of the Nisayon is Hashem pushes you, and you fall on the floor. Most people say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you pushing me? I'm such a good Jew. Why are you doing this to me right now? But you don't realize that Hashem pushes you on the floor, but the floor is full of diamonds. So if you would just walk, you wouldn't see the diamonds on the floor. Hashem pushes you. And you fall on the floor. If you're smart, you're like, wow, look how many diamonds are here. You just need to collect them and get up. We read every Erev Shabbat in Lecha Dodi, one of the psukim, it says, V'itna'ari me'afar kumi. Get up, brush off the dirt, and continue walking. That's a nisayon. Hashem pushes you. It seems like you're on the floor, that you're full of dust and earth. But it says, no, get up, brush off the dirt, and continue walking. So the nisayon is just a promotion. And if you internalize that something bad happens, and you're like, okay, that's just a nisayon from Hashem. He wants to see how much I trust in Him. He wants to see how much I'm going to get discouraged if I don't trust in Him. It's a nisayon. So if you internalize, okay, let me just go through with it, then you get promoted. But most people lose their bitachon. That's the problem with most people. They don't have bitachon. Bitachon is having trust in Hashem. And if you don't have trust in Hashem, you'll never, you know, every nisayon will look like a disaster. But if you have trust in Hashem, it's just another promotion. You know, I always say one thing. Life, serving Hashem, is like riding a bike. If it's easy, means you're going down. If it's hard, you're climbing up. So the harder your serving of Hashem is, means you're climbing up and up and up and you're refining yourself. So the nisayon is a very good thing. It all depends on the attitude. You can look at the nisayon from here and be like, it's a disaster. Or you can look at it from here and be like, oh, something beautiful is going to sprout out of this. So you just have to have the right mind frame. So yeah, I do have a little advantage, but everybody can build this advantage. It's a matter of attitude. If you have a good attitude, you have a lot of bitachon, everything would look to you like, okay, I'm getting another promotion. I'm getting another promotion. And if you don't see it as a promotion, then the present, you open up and it's empty. But the point is that Hashem wants to constantly give you. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu zakot et Yisrael. Constantly Hashem wants to give you more and more and more. You know, the story is, the Zohar says that way before the world was created, all the souls were sitting right next to Hashem, enjoying and marveling the godly revelation, to a point that they felt embarrassed, that they're just getting. Yeah, the Zohar calls it Nehamad de Ksufa, bread of shame, like just giving. They told Hashem, we want to do something for you. So Hashem said, no problem, I'll create a world, and I'll put you in this world, and I'll give you a bunch of mitzvahs, and then you can work for your reward. And he really did it. And the souls didn't take him serious. They thought they were like joking. No, we're joking. But he really did it. So the thing is that Hashem says, no problem, I'll put you here, and you will work for your reward. How much more satisfaction you get when you actually put in a lot of effort. So when you internalize that every minute of this world, you're actually actualizing it, and you're working towards your reward, then the nisayon is like, it's not so big, as hard as it is. And at the same time, that's what Hashem wants. And if I'm going to struggle, this is going to help me? If this is what's the decree, is it going to help me? If I cry, if I complain, if I whine, it's not going to help me. So might as well make the best out of it. So don't worry, I don't have a lot of a bigger advantage than everybody. I'll tell you, I'm going to trade my Yetzer Hara any day. Hold on for a second. He's waiting.
I was waiting first.
Oh, Sicha, Mechila, Kvodo. Go ahead.
My question is, I asked several people, and really, and I don't think anybody asked you this question. What is God?
What is?
Yes. Is the nature? What is
There's
God?
No answer. Huh? There's no answer, because our mind cannot understand what it is.
Thank you. I want to ask no more.
There's no answer. No, our mind is limited. He's asking, what is God?
I was thinking it could be the nature. This is God.
No. You're right. No, you're right in that respect that Hashem has many different names. We know Elohim, Havaya, Shin Dalet Yud. There's many, many different names to Hashem. Each name corresponds to a certain level of godly revelation. So the lowest level of godly revelation is in this world, corresponding to Hashem's name, Elohim, without the kuf, with the letter hey. The numerical value
is God.
Yeah. But the numerical value of the word Elohim is the same numerical value of the word Hateva, nature. So everything that you see in the world, nature, it's Hashem dressed into this world, like a hand being dressed into a puppet. And if you move your finger like this, then the puppet goes like that. You move the finger like that, the puppet goes like this. Yeah, Hashem gets dressed in nature, and He governs the entire world by dressed in nature. So everything that moves in this world, we see the sky, we see animals, we see trees. Everything is basically Gilui Elokut. It's a godly revelation. It's Hashem being dressed in a special garment. We perceive it as nature, but it's basically God hiding behind this nature. It's a very low level of godly revelation. But this is the lowest level of godly revelation. Can you imagine what's a high level of godly revelation? It's way beyond the nature, so anything that is beyond our nature, we can't understand. It's too much for us to understand. The mind, the human mind cannot understand the godly level, the godly revelation that corresponds to the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is way beyond in nature, because Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, if you break it, is Hayah-Hoveh-Yeh, past, present, future. Meaning that everything is together. Our mind cannot understand that. No human mind, the brilliant, most genius person in the world, cannot understand how the past, the present, and the future is the same thing. So how can really we understand really what is Hashem? We can't. We're